Okay, this is Winfrey, and this is the Monday night conference call that we've been doing here on BBS Radio. And for those of you that are tuning in for the first time, this is a simulcast between a group of us that's on the telephone and a group of you that's listening. And this call has a unusual purpose to it, at least as I've defined it, and that is we are working with a concept that perhaps is new to some of you, which I call blending of energies. And it's something that everyone does to some extent, but they probably don't call it that. And the purpose of this call is to actually to create the intention of blending energies. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Chari from Tempe, Arizona.
Oh, hi, Chari. Chari, right?
Right. Hey, Wynn.
Hi, how are you? My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Yeah, excuse me, Dana in Washington, and Ed will be here in a few minutes.
Okay. And
so, Wynn, Wesley.
Pardon me?
Wesley's here too, Wynn. Hello.
Hi, Wesley.
How you doing?
Okay.
Good.
So, those of you that are listening on BBS, you notice we hear these beeps and suddenly people are identifying themselves. And that is the conference call part of this show. I'd like to apologize. Some of you came in last week, and there were some special things that were happening, and we didn't get on for 20 minutes late, and if you came in early and were waiting for the call, it was technical problems with BBS, so we apologize, and we're glad you're here today. And we're talking about the idea of blending energies. And blending energies is something that you can't try to do by willpower, nor can you try to stop it by willpower, but you can screw it up by different attitudes. And some of you will have an experience, and some of you will be listening with your mind and wondering what's going on, and if you check back often enough, if you don't have some kind of experience tonight, you probably will sometime in the future. And we have some people checking in. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hey, Wynn, this is Gino and Claudia from Madrid, Spain.
Wow, what a treat. And where's Kendra?
She's sleeping.
She's sleeping. Did you guys move into a place? Gino? Pardon me?
We're almost there. We're in the process of finding a place.
Oh, good. I want you to know you're talking to BBS Radio now. So Gino is in Madrid, Spain, and he just moved there and was tracking our calls, and one of those people that had an experience on the call that he connected with this idea of blending, and he's still blended. There's a couple other people checking in. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Is John
in
New Jersey?
Portland.
Oh, wait a second. Who's in Portland?
Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Wynn.
Nice to hear you. And who else is on there?
This is Mary Jo, Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi, Wynn.
We have two Oregonites in a row, huh?
Yes.
Seems that way.
Susan, do you ever go to that awesome bookstore in Portland?
You know, I haven't had a chance yet. I think I know which one you're talking about.
I think there's only one. It's
yes,
like
there is only one.
The biggest used bookstore in the world, I think, is in Portland, Oregon.
Yes. Oh, I thought you were thinking of this. There's a metaphysical bookstore here. I thought you were talking about that. But, yeah, so I've been to that one, sure. Powell's, I think it's
Powell's. That's it. That's it. You got it.
Yeah, it's a very big store. Uh-huh.
Now, is anyone else on there that hasn't identified themselves yet?
Yeah, John in New Jersey.
John in New Jersey. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you for being here. And who else? That's it. Okay. Well, I'm going to mute you all. And, oh, there's somebody. My name is Wynn. I'm the moderator. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Oh, Anna from Berkeley, California.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, hi.
Good to hear you.
Yeah, sorry I'm late.
It's all right. Now, keep in mind, you're confessing to the BBS radio audience. So that's Anna in Berkeley, and she's late tonight, so. Confessing your sins publicly. Anyone else on there? Okay.
There are.
Anna? Anna?
Yes.
You can hear me. Okay, I'm gonna mute everybody.
All callers are muted.
Okay, great. So, you guys that are listening on BBS have heard all these people check in, and we're talking about the idea of blending and blending energies, which is another way of saying communing, which is probably the Christian term for blending of energies. And it's a concept that maybe you've never looked at directly in terms of something to attain to. So part of the purpose of this call is to create that experience for all of us if you want to have it. There's two things that will keep you from having that experience. One is if you don't want to have it, it won't happen. And the second is you might be listening with your mind and not your being. And your mind can get in the way of the experience. So I'd like to ask you for a moment to suspend your mind, to suspend your critical faculties, and perhaps when the call is over, you can go back to your critical faculties and look at it and see, you know, how it analyzes at that point. But don't analyze it while we're going, because then you'll block the experience, because your mind will be one step ahead thinking it through rather than feeling it through. So, in some of the cosmologies that I've been influenced by, and one of them, of course, is the Ra material by Carla Ruckert. The other is the Ra channelings coming through David Wilcock. And the other is my own Elohim channelings through two personal relationships. And I'm only going to brush through those and give you some references if you want to read more about them. There's a description of the universe from sources on the other side that, if we're to believe them, have been there and done that, and are not talking from speculation, but are actually addressing the experience of how they see it existing in those realms. And you can make a picture in your mind of the entire universe. Now, normally we think of the universe as so big and so wide and so awesome that we can't even begin to grasp it. You know, we think of other planets, other planetary populations, flying saucers, you know, thousands of inhabited planets, going on and on and on. And now I want you to take that whole picture of the universe and make it very small. And imagine that the universe is just one being, and that one energy that has subdivided and subdivided so that all these variations that exist all exist within the context of one energy. Perhaps a way of looking at it would be to think of a lake that has all these tributaries coming out of it, flowing from it, little creeks, and that when you're at the outer perimeter of the creek, you don't know it comes from a lake. You just see this little trickle of water. But if you follow that creek all the way back, you realize it's all just one lake subdividing into all these tributaries. And we could look at the universe, the entire universe, in a similar fashion, that there's just one huge energy that is subdivided and subdivided and flowing out till, for us, we're here on planet Earth, and in our physical bodies, in our waking consciousness, we have very little indication that we all have flowed from some great source of energy. And yet, this is exactly what all the spiritual teachings of history have taught us, that there is one source of energy, and that we all are part of that energy. And it's one thing to believe that, and it's another thing to experience it. And the first step in experiencing it is this idea of blending. Blending means we connect our energies with other beings, and we feel the connection. How do we feel that connection? Well, we all have felt that. We may not have called it blending, but we've all felt that. We felt that when we're in love, and when that you look at somebody and you feel totally one with them. When you watch a sunset, and there's a group of people watching the sunset, and they're all sharing the experience of that sun going down. They're not even talking to each other. They could be strangers. And yet, in that moment, their energies are blending. Some cities have a vibe to them. You go to that city, and you feel a friendliness in that city. The reason you feel that friendliness is because the people in that city, at some point when that city was founded, there was somebody that created the inspiration for blending. And once it gets started, it just keeps carrying down and carrying down. And so even generations later, that city or that town or that village can have a feeling to it, a vibe. And when you go there, you feel the vibe. If people are in a spiritual group, in a church or a yoga center, and they're having this experience of blending, even if it's in the context of a church service or yoga, it's still the same experience. And it means that the energies of the people that were outside of this dimension, because we all have energies that are not in this dimension, we all can't see that because our physical monitoring system in this dimension, our bodies, doesn't have apparatus to see energies in other dimensions. So it's something we have to learn by incidental circumstances, by reverse engineering, by reading about it and saying that makes sense. And when we realize we exist, our energies exist not only in this dimension but in other dimensions, then we have the ability or the possibility to connect our energies with other people. And we also have the possibility of connecting our energies with other intelligences in those other dimensions. Now, of course, this gets tricky because with other people, we can see other people. We know they exist. When we connect our energy with another person, oftentimes there's some kind of physical manifestation. Like you can look in their eyes, and there's a clear feeling when you look in their eyes. You can feel uplifted energy and an excitement being in their presence. And so you look at the person, and you have the feeling, and you know the person created that feeling. But when you're blending with intelligences in other dimensions, there's no one to look at because they don't have a physical representation here. So me saying that that's possible is perhaps the first time you're hearing this concept. You would have to go on faith that maybe it's possible. Now, in my own case, those of you who have studied my material, studied the book, studied the channelings, are aware that these intelligences have communicated to us. They've communicated to me, they've communicated through other people, and they want to make themselves known because they want to create the opportunity to blend with them. What is the advantage of blending with them? Why would we want to do that? Well, number one, you can have a companion or a friend that never leaves you, that can always be with you, because unlike physical beings or sunsets, we can't sit and watch the sunset 24 hours a day. We can't necessarily, in most cases, be with a person 24 hours a day. But we can be with these intelligences in other dimensions a good portion of our waking hours if we learn how to make the connection. So it starts to heal one's need for codependency and need for others to make them feel good. That's not to say others are not really valuable, because we all, when we have the opportunity to blend with others in the physical, that is a wonderful experience and should never be negated. But when we have the opportunity to blend with these group souls in other dimensions, that is a really amazing experience, because now you have a support team for your life. Now, you know, this is not about giving up your power to them or to anyone else. It's just about sharing space, and it's about having new friends, but learning how to identify these friends in a different way than Earth friends. Now, another thing is if you're going to like aim for having this kind of connection, you also have to learn discernment, because just because an energy is in another dimension doesn't mean it's positive. It doesn't have to be positive. In fact, there's a lot of information about how to tell the difference between what's negative and what's positive. The Elohim, who is one of the sources that's been communicating to me, has said that they would like to be our companion. They would like to support us in the things we want for ourselves, and not to follow them or to do their bidding. A negative source will usually have an agenda and want you to do some kind of blind following. Those of you that have been on this call for a long time repetitively realize that there isn't anything to follow here. There's nothing to join. This is just a free will coming together and a joining of our energies for the period of time we're on the call, and then we go back to our lives. And some of you, through being on this call over many times, have learned to identify these reference points of these higher beings and have created an enduring connection that persists through other times in your life where you can feel their presence with you. And that's a positive thing. Now, some people, in fact, even myself 10 years ago, would have been afraid of such a connection. In the cosmologies that we've studied, the raw material, the Elohim material, they talk about different stages of development that we go through on our path back to creation, or all that is. And one of the levels is called 3D, or third dimension, and our planet, Earth, for many years has been a 3D planet. And 3D, if you were going to describe words, would be individuality and power. Now, if someone is involved in lessons of 3D, individuality and power, they will have a hard time with this idea of blending. Because blending means, for a moment, surrendering. Surrendering and joining with something else outside of yourself. And that's going to appear like a compromise of one's power. And so one will be afraid of it. In fact, from the higher realms, in my experience, that's not what it is. It's like it's a cooperative, co-creative, free will joining. And it's no more a surrendering of power than watching a sunset with a group of people and having your breath taken away. Now, if whoever you're surrendering to or blending with has the agenda on their side of taking control of you in some way, and this is a case with negative entities, then you will be confronted. And in fact, that's one of the signs of a negative group. A negative group or a negative entity will have an agenda, will make you think you're fulfilling a higher purpose, will tell you to do things, and will make decisions for you. You'll ask and they'll make decisions for you, and they'll take away your ability to discern. And in fact, discernment is one of the most important levels, the lessons in this realm, learning what is best and what's not best, what's positive and what's not positive. And if someone is making your decisions for you, anyone, whether they're in this realm or they're in another realm, then you are not learning discernment. And you have surrendered one of your major lessons to something outside of yourself. And you can't really be sure where that's going to lead, because how do you know what their agenda is? So that's one of the signposts of negative and positive sources. Another signpost is, does it create fear? If you don't come to church, you're going to go to hell. That is an example of that particular action. Saying that, you know, somebody saying that or people believing that would be an example of a negative agenda. That doesn't mean churches are bad. They're not. And unless they are, that's just each person's individual thing. But if you go to church to have a sense of fellowship with people, to blend your energies with people, to have that experience of upliftment, that's positive. If you go to church because you're afraid you're going to go to hell if you don't go, then I would say that's negative. And so it has to do with your intent. So on this line, we're blending our energies, and we're blending them with these two group souls that have identified themselves to us as the Elohim group and the Ra group. Now, when it comes to group souls, we're talking about intelligences that can speak through people in the terminology commonly called channeling. And so this is an experience that I've had now for about 5 years. and studied, and when I started to have it, I certainly was studying it from David Wilcock, who's the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, and Carla Ruckert, and then, of course, if you go through the web, you'll find many, 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 many people channeling, and I had the opportunity to ask endless questions, and I learned many things about how the interaction between other realms and this realm actually work. And this whole concept of blending is something that I learned, not because they told me, but because I was having the experience of it while the channeling was taking place, that I could feel the blending, I could feel the energy in the room, and I was very consistent, and over a period of time, I convinced myself that that was what was actually going on. And so, my intent was to share that with others, so others could make that connection and have the reference point of those group soul energies in their space. Now, on this line, on Mondays, when we originally started, actually, I didn't ever talk like this. I actually would read channelings. Sometimes we did a live channeling, and I realized that it was very important for me to ground the experience and share how it looked for me, as well as how it looked from their point of view. Because I'm a human like you guys, and I've had to like figure this out and make it real for myself. And by sharing how I made it real, perhaps it'll give you some guidance or clues or keys on how you can make it real if you so desire. Okay, last week we were going to play a channeling, and there's two kinds of channelings that we've been doing on this line. One of them is where it's kind of a personal connection that I've had, where I ask questions and they answer questions. And I've had a pretty big open door to ask questions about anything. And then the other kind of channeling is where they are actually addressing you as a public or as a group of energies listening to them. And at various times, we've had those channelings happen, usually without notice, without planning, right here on the line. And, of course, many of you have heard them. And then there's times when I ask questions on behalf of everybody on the concerns we have, and I've gotten answers. And we either read them or played tapes and shared them with everybody. So last week was a time when I asked questions, and we made a tape, and we were going to play it, and then because of technical difficulties, we never got to play it. So I thought I would play it this week. And this is a conversation with Terry, myself, and this voice that identifies itself as the Elohim. Now, I say it's a voice that identifies itself as the Elohim, and I really have no way of proving that they are who they say they are. I have a lot of indications, a lot of circumstances that happened in my life that they just might be who they say they are. The way they answer questions has a very consistent way of approaching a cosmology that hasn't wavered over 5 years. And of course, I have this interesting phenomena of having conversed with them through two different relationships and having exactly the same cosmology present itself through two different relationships, as well as the same cosmology that was being presented by David Wilcock and the Ra group in the book that I wrote, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. So these are some of the ways that they kind of knocked me on the head and said, this is real. Three different sources, all saying the same thing. And then, of course, I started exploring the internet, and I found not many, many more sources saying comparable or pretty close things. Now, there's one aspect to the communications that I've got, which are very wise, very understanding of the human condition, and those really don't need any validation. If you have your own level of wisdom, you read these channelings, you will connect with the wisdom in the channelings. And then there's a whole bunch of other information which can't be validated by your wisdom. It's circumstances concerning this paradigm shift, this dimensional shift, this transformation that the planet's going through, this end of a 75,000-year cycle. And as I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I had to ask myself over and over again, can this be true? Can this be true? Am I making a mistake? Am I really talking to who they say they are? And then, of course, a personal relationship suddenly starts channeling, and I recommend that you go to the insidescoop.org or higher-vision.org and read some of the story, because you shouldn't believe this the first time you hear it, and you shouldn't believe it the last time. You have to read how it occurred, all the things that tied together, and then you might have some validation that the, or indication that the non-validatable parts of the story might be true. And quite frankly, whether they're true or not, there's only one bottom line, and that is love. And love is another word for blending. It's a word of saying that we can become one. We can be with each other in spirit. We can connect with the entire universe in our own souls. And so that, regardless of anything about dimensional shift or ascension, the bottom line always comes to love and spiritual love and blending. So, if Seth is there, I had asked some questions because many people were concerned about some possible calamity in Los Angeles. And so we asked questions about that, and we had answers. And one of the things about these group souls is they can potentially, to some extent, redirect certain things from happening in this realm, and that they need our permission to do it. And part of the purpose of the conference call is to blend with them, connect with their energies, and request their interventions on things that are happening down here that could be tragic otherwise. And of course, they don't just respond to our group, they respond to anyone that calls in the name of pure intent, regardless of the name they use, whether they say God, Jesus, Elohim, Ra, they don't care. They just look at the intent and the pureness of the heart. And that's what makes them respond and gives them the permission to do interventions. If Seth, if you're there, could we run, I hope Seth puts on the right tape now. Listen in, make sure if it's the wrong tape, I'm going to tell you to stop, okay? But play that channeling we did last week and make sure that it comes over the conference line as well as on BBS.
All right, this is September 16th, 2007, in Northridge.
We greet you and welcome you.
Thank you very much. Do you have anything you'd like to start with, or should I just ask some questions?
Okay. There is a vortex created by the fire in Big Bear. Terry's being affected by the vortex. Do you have questions?
Yes. This past couple of days, there was a lot of concern. In fact, some people we know actually left town because of a threat on a possible threat on the city of Los Angeles, or they took it that way. How should we relate to those kinds of bits of information? And how can we know when it's real, when it's not? What help can our connection with the Elohim Ra group be in this particular arena?
It is a great help to be connected with the Elohim Ra group, in that we are able, when you pray in the name of many who want peace, for an intervention on behalf of those individuals who want the peace, we are able to affect the situation to some degree. Although not all degrees, each situation needs to be reviewed individually. There is some danger in the manipulation of the situations to achieve a result, to achieve the result, to propel the country towards motion into further action in the Middle East. They your actions to some degree have affected the quelling of this, and we work with you in the farther callings in. We will work with you in the farther callings in of the light to diffuse the situation. It is a serious situation.
You know, there are many groups that might reach or pray for the one infinite creator or God or all that is, or however they would describe it. No matter what name someone uses, I would assume that if the intent is strong enough that you can respond to it, yes?
That is correct. It does not matter what name the individual uses when he prays, or if he even uses a name. If he just intends with all his will, the universe will become behind him. If it is for the higher good, then the knowledgeable, intelligent forces on the other side will back him. If it is not for the greater good, then the intelligent greater forces will be repelled and will reject it.
Now, when our group makes a request, when we are operating on behalf of all those that would desire peace but perhaps don't have the intent to reach the energies of the Elohim and Ra groups directly, do we assist bridging that intent of people that would desire peace?
Yes, we do. We increase the turn up the magnitude of their desire, and by lending our light force behind it, and then turning up the intensity of their prayer, we affect the situation to a greater degree.
On this Monday's conference call, are there any particular suggestions of where we should direct our light that would be helpful for the planetary process?
I'm not sure. It should continue. The answer to that question was to direct our energies towards Washington, D.C., New York City, and the Air Force Base in Louisiana. I believe it was the Air Force Base that those nuclear weapons were brought down, the 6 nuclear weapons on the plane. So when we call in the light, we will particularly address those areas. And that's an example of the kind of repartee that I'm having and the questions that they're answering in these ongoing dialogues that I have. The group that was speaking was a blending of the Elohim and the Ra group. And apparently, because of the understanding our group has gotten for the way these two groups operate independently, that they have blended at least representatives of both groups. And when we talk about these groups, we're talking about group souls that have millions or billions of individual souls that are no longer in this dimension, no longer have bodies, and that act as pure energy as an influence into this realm. And for the longest time, of course, I identified with the Ra group as speaking through David Wilcock, and that I was having the experience of communicating with the voice that said they were the Elohim group. But then occasionally, I would ask a question or we'd start a channeling, and the voice identified itself as the Ra group and said that they were also paying attention to us. And that over a period of time, and the first time this happened is when we did a live channeling on the fire of the grid, the voice identified itself as a blending of parts of the Ra group and parts of the Elohim group. And both groups operate differently in this realm. So it means we have a very, very powerful connection to both sources of energy in our group. And apparently this is an unusual thing to happen in this realm. So on that note, what I'm going to do is call in the light. And while I've been talking, many of you, and while that was playing, many of you have noticed shifts in the energy. And the calling in of the light is just a formalization of something that is happening to some degree or another throughout this entire call. Before I call in the light, I'll mention that if you're hearing this for the first time, please write down these websites and do a little bit of your own research. First of all, learn the story of how this occurred for me. And second, read the booklet, Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which is about 70 pages of conversations with the Elohim. And third, read the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and see if it hangs together and fits. Because the conscious mind needs to know the background, needs to know how something got started, how it proved itself to me as it was going on, and to help in your own process of discernment. So the important websites here is, number one, the insidescoop.org, which is a 30-minute audio tape right on the website. And you'll see that there's an email there where you can request this booklet be emailed to you, called Questions and Answers with the Elohim. And so I suggest that you request that. It's free. It'll come in as an attachment on your email. The other website is higher-vision.org, which talks a little bit about our conference call, which has links to it that go to a link about the book that goes, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and a place to purchase the book from that link. Another link that goes to Conversations with My Girlfriend, which tells the story and has many of the original channelings posted when this was unfolding for me. And another link that tells about the grid healings that we've been doing on the call, where we plant columns of light at different places around the country. Everyone on the call who's on the phone line has been checking in over a period of time and done their own analysis. And many of those checking in have had some kind of personal experience where they had an intervention of sorts or something shifted in their life, or they sent the light to someone and something shifted in that relationship. Because we have a lot of power in this, in the sense that we're creating a group energy, a blending of our energies, all of us on this call, and then blending with these group soul energies, which is like putting our intentions through a huge amplification system. So when we have intentions, as they described, for the highest good of all concerned, for a planetary purpose, and even if it's for a personal healing or someone we know, we have a huge amount of support and help to make those intentions come about. And so that is one of the great benefits of this call, because it allows you to hook into this energy and make your own requests and watch in the laboratory of your own life if there's anything that manifests for you. Keeping in mind that this is not a game, and everything is done for the highest good of all concerned. So when we make a request, we don't always know what's for the highest good. And things may not happen because they may not be for the highest good. And they just have to run their course. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this call, each person that's on the phone line, each person that's tuned in on the internet, on BBS radio, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. Whatever angst you're holding, whatever you've gone through today, whatever sadness, whatever hurts, whatever resentments, let them go right now and take a deep breath. Let it out. And we see ourselves in this flow of energy. There's an energy that radiates through our universe. It starts out from the center of the universe to the center of our galaxy called the Hunapku, through our solar system, through the energy levels of Earth, to your body. And if you are open, you are going to open yourself to that flow of energy through your body, through your chakra system, through your feet, and anchoring itself to the center of the earth. And now we are going to ask that the parts of us that are in other dimensions touch each other and join for a moment of blending. And as we do this, you may sense a great stillness in your space. The time is not moving the way it was earlier in the day. Your breathing will be very deep. And we blended our energies, and now we ask for the blending with those positive intelligences on the other side of the veil to blend with our group energy. And we've been calling them the Elohim and Ra, but if you have another name, you can substitute that name. Doesn't matter what the name is, it's the experience. And so we can imagine this huge energy that we have created here on this line just by our individual intentions to have it be so. And we can move this energy and direct it. And as per their request or suggestion, we're going to send this energy to New York City. We expand our energies and move it to that physical location of New York City, showering down on that city uplifting those who are open to this positive input, asking for any interventions from the other side for the highest good of all concerned, to protect this city, the people therein. And particularly we can go to the United Nations and the Brooklyn Bridge, Statue of Liberty, and those places we visited on the grid healing. And now we'll move this energy to Washington, D.C., and we'll do the same thing. Particularly, we ask this energy to shower all those legislative bodies, decision-making bodies, that people who are in positions to make decisions that are positive and for the highest good can be moved to the compassion and empathy to make those decisions. And now we'll go to that base, that air base in Louisiana. And I don't know the name of it, so whichever one the Elohim had in mind, we will ask the energy be sent there. We will now take a moment and take this energy and think of anyone you know that needs healing, that needs upliftment, and for the highest good of all concerned, focus on that person and send this energy to them for their highest good and for any healing request.